Like this morning to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. I want to read verses 21 through verse 25. Matthew 16, verses 21 through verse 25. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. In this passage, Jesus begins to reveal to his disciples, that is, individuals who were following him at that time. And you know from reading the Gospels, people followed Christ for all kinds of reasons, not always the right reasons. And they are referred to here as disciples. They were following Christ. But Jesus begins to reveal to these disciples the fact of the cross there in verse 21. Began to tell them how he must go to the cross and suffer and to die and to rise again. Following that, Peter took Christ to the side and began to rebuke Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 22. His rebuke was, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. In other words, Lord, you are above such a thing. Peter's philosophy basically was, Save yourself, spare yourself from any troubles, from any reproaches or persecution, and certainly spare yourself from death. It's look out for number one, is the philosophy of Peter here. And that is the philosophy, unfortunately, that has filled our society and has also crept into our churches, giving us what I would call casual or convenient Christianity. After listening to Peter's rebuke, Jesus responded. And the response of Christ is quite revealing. He said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. In other words, such a philosophy is the very philosophy of Satan. He then went on to say, Thou art an offense unto me. Such a philosophy, the save yourself philosophy, spare yourself philosophy, look out for number one, is an offense unto the Lord. It offends the Lord. And he goes on and he says, For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Such a philosophy is the reasoning and the thinking of man. And after responding to Peter, Jesus Christ then turned to address those who were following him, for whatever reason they were following, and informed them what it would take to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, Jesus lays out very, very plainly the terms of discipleship. Jesus says, if you are going to come after me, that is, if you are going to truly follow me, here is what you must do. And I believe he mentions four things there in verse 24 that you must do if you are going to truly follow Jesus Christ. Now, the term Christian is grossly misused today, grossly misapplied today. And every time the term Christian is used to apply to all those who profess salvation, that is a misuse of the word. Even if you use it to apply to all those who are saved, it is a misuse of the word. We read in Acts 11 and verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Was it because they made a profession of faith? No. It is because they were strict followers of Christ. That is what a Christian is. A Christian is a strict follower of Jesus Christ. There are many today who take the name Christian who are doing anything but following Jesus Christ. In Acts 26 and 28, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And almost everybody believes that what Agrippa is saying there is, Paul, I'm almost saved. Almost you persuade me to be saved. But I don't believe that's what Agrippa's talking about at all. And people start talking about almost being saved. Guess what? If you're almost saved, you're still lost and going to hell. Amen. There's no such thing as almost saved. And Agrippa wasn't almost saved. He was almost convinced to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Almost thou persuadest me to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Today, because of the misuse, because of the misapplication of the word Christian, again, we have what we're going to refer to as casual or convenient, quote-unquote, Christianity. But there is no such thing. There is no such thing as casual Christianity. How are you a casual follower of Christ? There is no such thing as convenient Christianity. No such thing. And as you look at Christ's terms or principles of discipleship, you very easily see that there is no such thing. But today we live in a day when people want to be numbered among the flock, but they care nothing about following the shepherd. We have a people today who want the forgiveness that Jesus Christ brings, but have no intention of being identified with Jesus Christ in their life. They want warm and fuzzy feelings on Sunday mornings. And they get mad at the preacher if he doesn't produce those warm and fuzzy feelings. But they want no commitment to Jesus Christ whatsoever. Such thinking is diametrically opposed to the principles that Jesus Christ lays down here in Matthew 16, verse 24. You know, the story is told of a pig and a chicken walking past a church building, and there's a sign out front of the building that says, "Help us feed the hungry." And the chicken suggests to the pig, you know, maybe we can pitch in some eggs and some ham. And the pig says, well, that's easy for you to say. For you, that's just a contribution. But for me, that's a life or death commitment. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning. A contribution or a life or death commitment. Anybody can make a contribution. In fact, many are willing to make a contribution. I ran across this years ago, and it's somewhat humorous, but it does present the ease and the convenience that people want today. This comes from some wilderness area in Wyoming, and where they have hiking trails through the mountains, and they have these comment cards, and these are actual suggestions that were written on the comment cards, showing again the people's desire for ease and convenience. Trails need to be wider so people can walk holding hands. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Please pave the trails so that they can be snowplowed during the winter. Too many bugs. Too many spiders. Too many spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the area of these pests. Chairlifts need to be in some places so that we can get to the wonderful views without having to hike to them. The places where trails do not exist are not well marked. A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. And these are all true. My favorite of all, too many rocks in the mountains. And that's the way that a lot of people think today. Everything is about convenience. You know, just like the young man who wrote a poem to his girlfriend, he said, I would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest ocean too. I would crawl the hottest desert. I'd do anything for you. I would leap the tallest building. I'd bear any trial or pain. There's no limit to my love, and I'll be over Friday night if it don't rain. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth today. People will say, I'll do anything for the Lord. But they don't really mean that. I'll do anything for the Lord if it is convenient for me to do so. And if everything is in place, oh, you can depend on me. You can depend on me if everything's in place and everything's convenient and I'm in a good mood and you can depend on me. Well, guess what? You can't depend on them. So-called casual or convenient Christianity does not coincide with the principles of Christ. So we want to look at verse 24. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I see four conditions if we're going to follow Christ. And one of the conditions, of course, is following. But first of all, there must be a desire to follow Christ. Notice he says, if any man will, the word will there speaks of desire. If any man will or desires to come after me. This is not talking about being saved. This does not have any reference at all to being saved. It has reference to being a true follower of Jesus Christ. If any man will, if any man desires to follow me, and then Christ proceeds to say what he must do. The word will, again, conveys the idea of determination. If you are determined to follow Christ, here's what you need to do. But you will never follow Christ if you do not have the determination, the aspiration, the yearning, the longing, and the hungering to do so. There has to be a desire to follow Christ. And if you're saved and you do not have that desire, something is seriously wrong with your spiritual condition. So there must be a desire. There has to be a single-mindedness to follow Christ. There has to be a firmness of purpose to follow Christ. Now, in order to have this desire to follow Christ, there must be an attraction to Christ. He says, if any man will come after me, there's the object of attraction. When Christ says, me. No one will ever be a true follower of Christ who is not attracted to him. Why is it that some who profess to be saved have no desire to be a true follower of Christ? Oh, they desire to follow Christ on their own terms. That's not a true follower of Christ. A true follower of Christ must follow Christ on his terms. Why is it that so many have no desire to be a true follower of Christ? Is it not because they do not have an attraction to him? There is nothing that pulls them toward Christ. Now, in order for us to have this desire, in order for us to have this attraction, he must be considered worthy. Jesus Christ must be considered worthy. For you to give everything to Christ, you must consider Jesus Christ worthy. For you to follow Christ, you must consider Jesus Christ to be worthy. The truth is, every child of God ought to be increasingly attracted to Christ because of who he is and because of what he has done. All because of who he is. And all because of what he has done, I am saved. All because of who he is, and all because of what he has done, I have acceptance with God. I have a righteousness with God. I have forgiveness of sins. I have an inheritance in glory, and on we can go. All that is because of who Jesus is, and because of what he has done. And because of who he is, and because of what he has done, I ought to be attracted to Jesus Christ. And I ought to have a desire. I ought to have a desire to serve him according to his terms. I ought to have a desire to worship him according to his terms. I ought to have a desire to live for him and to glorify him. I ought to have a desire to simply be identified with Jesus Christ in every aspect of my life. Amen. Simply because of who he is. Simply because of what he has done. So the first step in following Christ is a desire to do so. That's the first step. There has to be a yearning to do so, a longing, a determination to do so. And this desire must be stronger than any other desire that I have. It must be stronger than any desire I have for self. It must be stronger than any desire I have for family. For anything, I must have a desire to follow. And then that desire must be stronger than any other desire. Jesus makes that plain in Luke 14 and 26. He says, if any man, no exceptions, come to me and hate, comparatively speaking, not his father, mother, wife, and children, brethren, and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. It doesn't say he won't make a very good disciple. That's not what it says. It says he cannot. It's not even possible for that individual to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. So this means that my desire for and my attachment to Christ must be greater than anything else. You will not follow Christ without that. That's where it starts. But that alone will not lead you, will not be enough for you to follow Jesus Christ. He then goes on, along with this desire, there has to be a denial of self. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The biggest and most formidable obstacle to following Christ is self. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's not anybody else. It's not your circumstances. It's not your situation. The biggest obstacle in truly following Christ is self. That's always so. Therefore, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Jesus is saying, the one who has in his mind to come after me, the one who has this desire to follow me, let him deny himself. What does that mean? Well, that means if you desire to follow Christ, that's the first step. Step number two is get self out of the way. That's step number two. You will never, ever truly follow Jesus Christ unless you get self out of the way. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions, I believe, concerning the denial of self. The popular idea, which prevails both in the world and amongst saved people, is that the denial of self simply consists of giving up certain things that we like. I'll give up doing this. I'll give up doing that. I won't do this anymore. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Anybody can give up a few things. But that will not qualify you to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. There has to be the denial of self. May I put it another way? There has to be the denial of self itself. We have to deny self. We're not talking about denying ourselves certain things, certain pleasures. We're talking about denying ourselves. Denying ourselves. Once we do that, we will deny ourselves sinful pleasures as a result of denying ourselves. So again, we're not just speaking of denying some things that are pleasing to self. When Jesus said, let him deny himself, Jesus stood opposed to the entire self system. And may I say, the entire self system stands opposed to Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have to get self out of the way. You have to, or you'll never follow Christ. So to deny self, to deny is to oppose. You have a desire to follow Christ, then you must oppose yourself. It means to refuse. We have to refuse ourselves. It means to turn down. To deny is to turn down. We have to turn down ourselves. To deny is to dismiss. We have to dismiss ourselves. Most aren't willing to do that. That's why there are so few true followers of Jesus Christ. We have to renounce self. We have to reject self. It means that we cease insisting upon my own rights. You cease doing that. You cease insisting upon your own ways and your own reasoning. That's what it means to deny self. It means repudiating self itself. It means ceasing to consider our own comforts, our own ease, our own pleasure, our own agenda, our own benefits. It means that we're done with self. We're no longer living for self. Self is no longer our priority. That's what it means to deny self. Oh, I'll just give up such and such. That's easy. But denying self is difficult. Denying self goes against everything in us. It goes against everything we've ever been taught. It goes against every reasoning of society. Because all we hear today is self, self, self. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. Self. But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, these are my principles, Jesus says. He must deny himself. Well, the Lord, He wants me to have a good time. He wants to get me, have me to take my fill of life. Show me that in the Word of God. It's not there. It means being to renounce the rule of our own lives. We no longer rule our own lives. That's what it means to deny self. Again, this is so much more than making an occasional contribution. People today, they'll live for self, and every now and then they'll come along and they want to contribute something to the church, whether it be money, whether it be helping out in any way, they want to make a contribution. But that's not truly following Jesus Christ. We have to deny ourselves. That is, we lose sight of self. We renounce our own strength. We renounce our own will. We renounce our own desires. This doesn't sound anything like casual and convenient Christianity. Verse 25, he really explains what it is to deny ourselves. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You live for self, you will lose many, many, many things, eternal things. Whosoever will lose his life. That's what it means to deny self. It means that we lose our life. I'm not talking about death. It means that we lose our life for my sake. We lose our life. We set our life to the side for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's what it is to deny self. And the individual that does that will find it. That is, in truth, he hadn't lost anything. But he gains everything. So there has to be a desire to follow Christ. And then there has to be a denial of self. And that leads us to the third thing. And all these things are in order. There is desire. And our desire needs to be so great that it will cause us to deny ourselves, which leads us, the result of denying ourselves is that we'll take up something. We put down something that is self, and we take up something which is the cross. He goes on, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The denial of self is a prerequisite for taking up the cross. You see, living the Christian life is not something that's passive. We have to put down. We have to take up. It is a very serious undertaking. Just as the denial of self is an absolute necessity to living the Christian life, so is this taking up the cross. Jesus very plainly said in Luke 14 and 27, he said, and whosoever shall not bury or carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So just like denying self is absolute necessity, so is taking up the cross. So what does this mean? What does it mean to take up the cross? Well, most believe that refers to your difficulties, your trials, your afflictions, your sorrows, your heartaches, your health, the bad situations that you might have to face in life. You see, people will point to those things and they'll say, well, I guess that's my cross. I don't believe that's what Jesus is referring to at all. In the context, he's talking about going to the cross. And Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross. And in the text, cross is linked to the verb take. We don't take difficulties and trials unto ourselves. Those things are laid upon us. This is something that we voluntarily pick up. This is something that we willingly do. Take up the cross and follow me. I believe what Jesus is referring to here is a principle. A principle of life. The cross was a very concrete and vivid reality. So what Jesus is referring to here is a reality. It was something that was the instrument of execution reserved for Rome's worst enemies, the cross. It was a symbol. It was a symbol of torture. It was a symbol of death that awaited those who rose their hand against Roman authority. And what Jesus is speaking of here is a reality. This must be real in our lives. And it follows the denying of self. The cross is an expression of the world's hatred. The world hated Christ. And its hatred was ultimately manifested by crucifying Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, in order to truly follow Jesus Christ, we must be willing. Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross. And he counted it a joy. It wasn't something he dreaded. He counted it a joy. One must be willing. And even count it a joy to be hated by the world. That includes your family. That includes the ones you love the most. Well, I can't do that. You could if you denied yourself. You're right. None of us can unless we deny ourselves. It goes back to the denial of self. It means that we are willing to be ridiculed. We are willing to be mocked. We are willing to be counted and thought of as the scum of the earth. That's what the cross represents. Again, this can only be done after we have truly denied ourselves. And if you begin to truly follow Jesus Christ, people who do not understand are going to think you have lost your mind. And if you have truly denied self and you're willing to take up the cross, you're willing for them to think just that. Even if they think I've lost my mind, I'm going to keep unfollowing Jesus Christ. Even if they forsake me, even if they mock me, and even if they taunt me, and even though they consider me the scum of the earth, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. That's what it means to take up the cross. The cross stands for reproach and the hatred of the world. We're willing to be ridiculed. We're willing to be mocked. We're willing to be rejected by the world in order to follow Jesus Christ. You see, many today, they want to follow Christ, but they don't want to lose any of their old friends. Don't work that way. Oh, Brother Dan, you don't understand what it's like to lose a friend. Oh, let me sit down and talk with you for a while. I understand. But that has nothing to do with it. Friendship has nothing to do with truly following Jesus Christ. Is it going to cost you some friends? Yes. Yes, it will. Might it cost you some of your family? It might. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to pay that price. And the only way you can do that is to follow Jesus Christ. The cross stands for a life that is voluntarily surrendered to the will of God. It's voluntary. Not compulsory. Voluntary. It's continuous. Not every now and then, but continuous. It's obedience. It's consecration. It's surrender. It is to willingly place our life at the disposal of God. In other words, the cross stands for our life being actuated by the same principles that actuated Christ's life. You'll never follow Christ by your own principles. You'll have to take his principles. And that's why today I'm done. I'm done discussing. I'm done arguing with folks who want to try to serve God on their own principles. Let me just simply say this. You'll never serve Him. End of the discussion. Until you adopt the principles of Jesus Christ. No need to discuss it. Jesus said, unless you do it my way, you cannot be my disciple. And as long as you want to continue to do it your way, you have not denied self. You're still actuated by the self principle, and you'll never follow Christ. No matter how much I talk to you, no matter how much anyone else talks to you, it's not going to make any difference. He made himself of no reputation. And so must I. He surrendered himself. He pleased not himself. And so must we. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And we must be willing to do all of these things. The problem today is that people are too in love with themselves, too self-involved to truly follow Jesus Christ. And then lastly, he says, and follow me. That's the end result of the desire, of the denial of self, and the taking up of the cross. The end result is you will follow Christ. And you know, a true follower of Christ, he has this desire that abounds over all other desires. He's denied himself. He's willing to receive come what may as a result of him following Christ. This individual doesn't struggle with peer pressure. He really doesn't. The ones who constantly struggle with peer pressure are those who have not denied themselves. You deny yourself and peer pressure will take care of itself. Oh, we hear so much, oh, the peer pressure. Deny yourself. And you'll be amazed at how much peer pressure disappears. Follow me. This is a call to himself. This is a call to the service of God. This is a call to separation. This is a call for Jesus Christ to have the preeminence. This is a call for you and I to imitate Jesus Christ. This is a call for you and I to be obedient to Christ. It is a call for you and I to be focused upon Christ and to be fully committed to Jesus Christ. Follow me! And that's what we'd always do. No matter where our life's course is, no matter what we may be going through, our duty, our responsibility, our privilege, our opportunity is to follow Christ. But you have to have the desire to do so. And that desire has to be so strong that you're willing to get self out of the way. Willing to take up the cross. In other words, you're willing to pay the price. As Esther said, if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Amen. That's what it takes. To be a true follower of Christ. But many times we're like the individuals who filled out those comment cards. We want it easy. We want everything to be easy. We don't want to have to go uphill. We don't want to have to deal with the rocks. We don't want to have to deal with the pests. Christianity isn't easy. Following Christ isn't easy. And it's not going to get any easier. You know, Brother Art and I were talking this morning, and it's true. You take the younger people in the church, Brother Dwayne, Brother Kevin, and their families and others. We'll all be gone. The Lord doesn't come back in 15, 20 years. There will be no morality in this country. It's going to get more difficult. And I believe the price for following Christ is going to become more steep. But are we willing, all of us today, do we have a desire to follow Christ? And if you don't, you need to get that right. But let's assume that everyone that's here and saved has a desire to truly follow Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Has that desire by itself worked? No. That's the people who say, I try and I try and try. They have a desire, but you see, it takes more than a desire. You have to desire it enough to deny self. Oh, Brother Dan, I want to serve the Lord, but, you know, I've got some good friends over here. You have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Well, my husband won't like it. My wife won't like it. My children won't like it. My grandchildren. My children may not even let me see my grandchildren anymore. Deny yourself. You have to put all the ifs, ands, and buts. They're gone. You deny self. Are we willing to do that today? And we have to do that every single day of our lives. Because every day we get up, guess who gets up with us? Self. It follows us around all day. I can't get away from it. That's why I tell people all the time, and say, oh, I just got to get away. There's only one problem. You can't get away from your biggest problem, which is yourself. Because I have yet to know anybody that can go any place without taking self with them. We have to deny self. And as a result of that, we're now willing. We're now willing that if it means I'm going to be hated and ridiculed and mocked, I'm willing. Now we can truly follow Jesus Christ. And that's what we need today. In these last days in which we live, we need to be a people that follows Jesus Christ. We need to be a people who are truly following Jesus Christ. Home Baptist Church needs to be made up of a people that are truly following Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we need. And that's why we are to try to help one another to do that. And help one another to realize I can't follow Christ setting my own terms. He's already set the terms. Amen. It's not for you and I to change them. So all that God would help us to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. What a happy marriage for husband and wife together to be true followers of Jesus Christ. And if husbands and wives would strive for that, that would fix a lot of marital problems. You couldn't have some of the marital problems you have if you were both followers of Jesus Christ. Churches wouldn't have some of the church problems they have if everyone was a true follower of Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have some of the dissension that you have if everyone was a true follower of Christ. So God help us to be a true follower Jesus Christ. And that's something I have to do every single day. Today's not going to take care of tomorrow. If we live another day, we have to again go through the whole process again. And that's how we're to live our life. But I want to say there's no better way. There's no better way to live
than following Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe in every situation in life that you face, you can follow Jesus Christ. In fact, you have a choice. You'll either follow him or you won't.
That's right.
So God help us to be true followers of Christ. Brother Larry, you come.